everyone, and welcome back to the Real and True Podcast. I'm your co-host, Edmund Mitchell.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Mentok.
And this podcast is for us to discuss the unit of videos of Real and True in more detail, to dive deeper into the content, and to share a bit of the behind the scenes of the mission and vision of Real and True. How are you doing, Emily?
I'm doing great, Edmund. How are you?
I'm doing extra well because we have a big announcement that we're really excited about. Do you want to take it away?
Yeah, we had a big announcement this past week. So we received for our Real Plus True project the official patronage of the Vatican, of the Holy See, through the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization. So does that mean?
That mean the Pope has watched all of our videos?
I really hope so. I can tell you that the people who are leading that Pontifical Council have certainly seen the videos. Our other co-founder, Edmundo, and I had the opportunity to travel to Rome earlier this year. And while we were there, we had meetings to kind of, you know, spread the word about the project. It's this free resource, gift to the church. You know, anyone can use it. It has a global perspective and all these different languages. And one of our meetings was with Archbishop Fisichella, who leads this Pontifical Council. And it's interesting because he's actually one of the people who helped put the catechism together, you know, like 30 years ago when it came out, which is super cool. So he loves the catechism. He's commentary on it. I want to be like, it's so humble but proud also when saying this, like he thought it was great. He saw this as totally really understood what we were trying to do, of bring the catechism to the next generation, doing it for digital natives, almost as like this unique sort of like adaptation, that where it's not just, you know, getting people to read the book, which is of course great, but really trying to pass on the deposit of faith through our work. So he offered us verbally at the time the official patronage, and then we kind of followed up through the paperwork and things like that. And then we were able to share the news with everyone. So it's really exciting. Hopefully through this endorsement, more people will find out about the project, more people will be able to use it, and use it confidently that it's a resource that, you know, has this endorsement from the church.
Yeah, it means that, right? Doesn't it mean that it's just even easier for us to make this a global movement, that the Vatican is getting behind it and saying this is appropriate for the new evangelization, right?
Yes. You know, it was so inspiring when we were there. They took us to this little library, and there's this big bookshelf where all the official translations of the catechism were on the wall. It's all these, in dozens of languages, there's these official translations and adaptations. And it was so inspiring to see that. And one thing I'm really proud of this project is that, you know, we never set out to do it just in English. The catechism is universal. It's for all Catholics around the globe. And we've launched with these first four languages, but hopefully through this and access to more people around the world, we'll be able to expand in more languages as well. We were actually also invited to speak and present on the project at the International Congress for Catechists. It'll be the third one that they've had. They've had them about every 3 years, I think. And that will be just a great opportunity to hopefully make connections with people who are also passionate about this kind of work, and hopefully we can expand in more languages down the road.
It's so exciting. I mean, it's really cool. My mom, not gonna lie, my mom was pretty impressed.
I know, you know, my dad and my parents were too, and I was really proud. And really, it's just been great to see the response of people as well, who are just excited about it, grateful that it's a free resource, and then can help us spread the word. So
my mom is convinced that me and the Pope talk now all the time. She's like, what's it like talking to the Pope? I'm like, Mom, it doesn't work that way. There's a lot going on. The Pope is busy.
Oh, moms are the best.
Yeah. Cool. Well, just really proud and excited. And it took the work of an entire team. And we're just so thankful for this awesome team that we're working with. So maybe we should move on to this unit.
This unit, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. So I can give a breakdown real quick. Yeah, this one's on the Holy Spirit. The thesis is that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. And this is the section in the Catechism where it covers, I believe in the Holy Spirit, so from the Creed. And those of you following along at home, Catechism 683 to 747 is what we tackled with this unit. And like always, we have a proclamation, exclamation, connection video. The proclamation is called The Power of Breath. Mm-hmm. The explanation video is Who is the Holy Spirit? And the connection video is What it means to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't, you can go to realtrue.org or go on YouTube or Facebook and watch those videos.
Yes. And it's an exciting time to move into the Holy Spirit finally. We've really built up a lot tackling, you know, God, the Father, and the Creator, and then Jesus and what that means for our lives, and now the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So, Emily, what was your, like, when you were younger, or just what has been your perception of the Holy Spirit? It's not something everyone really thinks about.
Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit is presented to us in so many different forms, basically. It's not like it's like, you know, we talked a few podcast episodes ago, you know, what was your, how did you picture God as a kid? And it's like old man in the clouds kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jesus, we have Jesus, like the man, of course. And then, but the Holy Spirit is all these different things. There's the dove, the fire, the wind, the oil, you know, all these things. And so I'm not sure because of that, that I had a clear idea of what the Holy Spirit was as a kid. I just knew it was this, I kind of pictured it as the non-human, the non-man one, like a person that didn't fit the shape of a man the way that like the Father and the Son did. But, and we actually touch on that in the video. We explore even across these three videos, the kind of different of these sort of forms of the Holy Spirit that have been presented to us in our church and in our faith.
Totally.
What about you? Yeah, what did you think?
I was the same way. Same exact way. I was like, oh, it's a bird. Like, a bird. And I don't know. Yeah. I was like, it's something that Jesus and the Father, you know, have to figure out. And then, I don't know. He kind of floats around and does stuff. And it's so true. We don't often, you know, if we're raised in Christianity or Catholicism, we don't often take the time to appreciate these things. Another thing I wanted to mention that I think is really something we're trying to do with this project is, you know, a lot of us need to be re-evangelized, or what I'm saying is we've been exposed to a lot of the symbols of faith or these symbols from the Bible because Christianity is so much a part of the United States, and there's other contexts in the world where they've, you know, been exposed to some of these things, and we have a faulty view of it. So we need to reclaim that symbol or re-evangelize ourselves for that symbol. And the goal of these videos was, how do we reclaim the symbol so that when you think of fire or you think of a spirit, you get a new image, like something stands out. Like, can we get something to stand out, an image or a video or an analogy, so that the next time you think of it, you remember something different than just like, okay, a fire, what is it, whatever that means.
Right. And so in the first video, we kind of tackled breath, you know, the wind, that side of the Holy Spirit that's been presented to us. So, you know, breath, we all breathe. But, you know, sometimes more consciously than others, I was like, oh, okay, it would be fun on the podcast to just everybody pause for a moment and like breathe and realize that you're breathing. Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, and now you realize you're breathing. You were not thinking about it 10 seconds ago, which is just crazy. And so it's like the Holy Spirit's existence in our lives can be like that too. So it was just such a great sort of segue introducing the concept of the Holy Spirit as breath, God's breath.
Yeah, have you seen these, there's like these Reddit things or these social media things where it says, you know, you're suddenly aware of your tongue in your mouth and the position it's in. Or you're manually holding up your jaw. Or you're now noticing every time you blink. Or you haven't cleared your throat in a while. It's these things where once you say it, then you can't stop thinking about it and noticing it. And I think that's a really cool analogy for the Holy Spirit. Like it's something we don't think about, but hopefully once we mention it, you can become more aware of it. Like, you can remind yourself to be more aware of the Holy Spirit's movement in your life. And then same with breath.
Yeah. And I actually appreciate it kind of like even, like you said, sort of like being represented with some of these things that we have known about the Holy Spirit before, because now kind of because of this video and our work on it, when I catch myself realizing about breathing, it's also a reminder of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's
moment,
awesome.
Which is kind of just a gift to kind of carry with me even after this video is released.
That's really awesome. I don't know why, but it reminds me of, I think it was Deacon Ralph Poyo was giving a talk at some retreat, and he said, put your hand in front of your Holy Spirit, or in front of your Holy Spirit, put your hand in front of your mouth and say Jesus. And he said, the word Jesus is spoken by the Father, but the breath that you feel always comes with Jesus, you know? And I always, like, it just stuck in my head for the longest time. Like, the Father speaks Jesus, and then you feel Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So I really love this video. I mean, I don't know how much more we want to talk about it. Just as it's a solid video. I feel like you could just go watch it before we ruin all of it. Like, just go watch it.
And I think for our audience too, you know, we know that a lot of catechists are one of our, probably our main audience for this podcast. And we've heard some feedback since the launch of the project that one of the ways that these videos are being used is either in RCIA for adult confirmation prep, or even for kind of like middle school, high school confirmation prep. So I do think that I mean, the unit as a whole, but in particular, this first video, if you're getting people who haven't, you know, really experienced much catechesis before to introduce the concept of the Holy Spirit, this would be a great video to start with.
Yeah, those proclamation videos are meant to stir up curiosity. And a lot of times, you know, you might, if you were to walk up to someone and say, think of your breath and let's talk about breath and talk about, you know, Wim Hof, the Iceman and these things, they're like, what does this have to do with the faith? But by the end of it, you're like, well, what if God had a breath? And suddenly you're kind of locked in a different way, as opposed to just walking up to someone saying, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. It's like kind of hard to wrap your head around.
Right.
So do we want to move on to everyone's favorite part of the podcast, the standout catechism paragraph?
Let's do it.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I can go first this time.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So mine is 736. I have my catechism here. This one says, by the power of the Spirit, God's children can bear much fruit. He who has grafted us onto the true vine will make us bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then if you skip ahead a little, it says, through the Holy Spirit, we are restored to paradise, led back to the kingdom of heaven. And I love this paragraph because it, the fruits of the Spirit, I think for me growing up, when you couldn't really picture, like, what is the Spirit, being able to kind of see and understand it by the fruits was very helpful. Mm. And even so, now that we've kind of through this unit taken the deeper understanding, it again has just made me just more aware, just consciously in my daily life, of the Spirit around me or working in me or working in others. And I'm not saying that necessarily every single act of kindness ever in the world was like the direct work of the Holy Spirit, but I do think that I am like looking for the Holy Spirit in my life and when I'm experiencing those fruits. And if I'm missing some of those, patience, gentleness, whatever it may be, it's a great opportunity to then say, okay, I need to invite the Spirit to share his gifts in my life so that these fruits can be present in my life as well.
Yeah,
so,
I like that because it makes it really tangible, like practical. People so often, like, okay, well, the Holy Spirit's in my life. What practically does that, how do I know? And this list of the fruits is a way you can know. It's practical, tangible. You can notice those things.
Yeah, definitely. What about you?
Okay, mine was 684, and it says, through his grace, the Holy Spirit is the first to awaken faith in us and to communicate to us the new life, meaning like this life of the Christian life, which is to know the Father and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ. But the Spirit is the last of the persons of the Holy Trinity to be revealed. So St. Gregory of Nazianzus, the theologian, explains this progression in terms of the pedagogy of divine condescension. Now, I think there's a few things I love about this paragraph. One is this idea of condescension, which a lot of times we might think, oh man, like God's talking down to us because he doesn't like us, or you know, it's a little dismissive, like, oh, I'm talking condescendingly. But no, it's literally God is up so big and high, he's infinite, he's like above us, that he has to come down to meet us. And it's more like a father kneeling down to talk to his son, right? It's this loving thing that happens. And that's through the Holy Spirit, but in stages, right? God is revealed as God, then as Father, then through Jesus, then through the Holy Spirit. So I love that. But I also love this alternative, or the counter idea, that the Holy Spirit's always there from the very beginning, that from the first moment we start awakening in faith or turning towards God, the Holy Spirit's already there. And God wants us to understand him as Father and then the Son and then experience the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's already moving in our lives if we start turning towards him. So I think it just goes to show again how we don't acknowledge our breath, or we're not aware of it. But then later we can look back on our lives and go, man, the Holy Spirit was starting to move back then. The Holy Spirit has been acting in my life. I just wasn't aware of it at the time. So I think that's really cool. I love that paragraph.
Yeah. Or even acting in little ways. I love when this happens like frequently, but like they probably trained to say it, but like when you go to confession and then the priest is like, well, first, like, let's thank God that you're here, that the Spirit was working in your life and in your heart and gave you that nudge of grace to then prompt you to go to confession. And then the Spirit's there when you're like getting absolved of your sins. And then like, so it's like you're right that it could be, okay, I can look back on my conversion story and see, you know, where was the Spirit working? Certainly before I was aware of it. But even now in my daily life, like, you can kind of become more aware of those things
too. Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, cool. Let's move on to the
shout out.
Oh yeah, that's right. Shout out. Yes, take it away.
Okay, so a lot of our shout outs have been people, you know, commenting, you know, their favorite catechism paragraph as well, or people sharing how they're using the content. But I want to give a shout out to someone who, you know, we must have reached, who wouldn't normally, you know, probably be consuming this content, which I just think is really revealed by their comment. And I want to give them the shout out. It's Alexis Estrada. This was on the call and response proclamation video, where we're talking about, you know, like the music, and then, you know, what if God's creation was all like this call that we are made to respond to. And so Alexa said, like, wow, that last part was incredibly powerful. What if we were all just musicians playing in the whole cosmos jam session? And I just wanted to share that to show, you know, like, yes, we do hope, especially in this podcast, we talk about that there are people who can understand what we're doing, believe in our mission, help us get the word out, share these videos, you know, oftentimes even in a formal catechesis way. But then there's also those people who kind of are finding the videos, being inspired by them, and hopefully opening their minds and being curious about things that we know the catechism has the answer to.
That's great, man. Yeah, I love it when someone watches one of the videos and then has a honest reaction, right? Like just honestly responds to it like that. And you can tell that she was just kind of honestly commenting.
Just like, whoa.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. Let's move on to the explanation video.
Yes. So this was, who is the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Where we actually try to answer that question that I think we're like, oh, it's been vague to a lot of us.
Yeah. And again, we open it up with, when we picture God, it's interesting all the things we think of, right? These preconceived notions. And we tried to really unpack that. First video is on the breath of God. And then we unpack this idea of the Holy Spirit as the Ruach, right? In the Hebrew word that means breath or air or wind. And Jesus is using this. Jesus uses this. Scripture uses this to talk about this. And one thing I found interesting that I'd never thought of until we were prepping for this video, is I'd never really thought about the two words Holy Spirit. Like, it could have just been the Spirit. It's interesting that it's the Holy Spirit, which is like a modifier, right? It's an adjective that describes what spirit. So I thought that was interesting. And I also thought, man, like, those two words really, really sum up everything. Like, it's not just the Spirit, but it's the Spirit that's holy, that makes us holy, that makes Jesus holy in a sense that he's already holy. But it's like the holiness of God himself, which is really cool. So I feel like it was difficult, because there's so much in this section on the Holy Spirit to unpack, but I feel like this was a really good one to really unpack, like, the Holy Spirit as the breath of God.
Yes. And a gift to us too. Jesus says that he is going to send that. Well, he and the Father are sending the Spirit to us, like, as Jesus departs.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important piece for us to understand that, you know, again, how the Holy Spirit can live in our life, and how we can see it in the life of the church, and just like pretty much every single aspect of our faith.
Yeah. And another thing to remind everyone, just to give some of the context of where we're at in the catechism and the structure of it. So we're in the creed section, pillar on the creed, and it's walking through the articles of the creed. But one thing people might not notice is that the creed is Trinitarian, meaning it's, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, right? So it's kind of sectioned off into that. Another thing to think about is when we're professing the creed, we're saying, I believe this, and it has an impact on my life. So not only is the sign of the cross a creed, it's a summary of the creed, and then the creed itself is a summary of what we believe, but we're saying, this has an impact on my life. And so we can't be baptized without the Holy Spirit. We can't just be baptized in the Father and the Son, right? We have to have the Holy Spirit. And the same thing in our lives. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and then it goes on, and the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, which are a consequence of our belief in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus and the Father. So it's interesting, you know, especially as we've been working on this video, to go to Mass and to hear, I believe in the Holy Spirit. How does that change my life, my belief as a Christian? How does the Holy Spirit impact my life? Because belief in him should change things for us, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that leads right into then the connection video of, well, then what does it mean to be transformed by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
So we kind of tackled, you know, wind, we've talked about water and the anointing, and then, but this third kind of connection video we talk about fire, the fire side of the Holy Spirit, yeah. right? I think when a lot of people probably think of the tongues of fire at Pentecost yeah. when they think of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you got to visit an actual pottery studio for
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. Like this video, I really hope people enjoy because it was very, very fun. And I was so excited about, you know, we're doing research and trying to think, how do we make this image really stick in people's mind in a different way? And when we were doing research and found that there's this process to pottery that involves two firings, and it just kind of has this pretty perfect analogy of the Christian life and the interaction of the Holy Spirit with us kind of as the clay and the potter or the pottery. It was really, really exciting. And this guy, Garrett, was so gracious and generous, like spent a ton of time with us and was a really cool dude. So we went to a pottery studio in Fort Worth. And one thing that didn't make it into the filming is he made two vases, well, two kind of pictures. And as I'm recording, I'm like getting really close. One of the ones he had already made was sitting close to him, and I'm getting really close, and I basically ruined that pot. Like, oh, no. Like my forearm. You can hear Allie in some of the video that we didn't use, but you hear Allie go, Edmund, and then my forearm, forearm had just like crumpled in the front of this picture, and he's like, no, it's fine, it's fine, because he could reuse the clay, but it was just, I felt like such an idiot. But that was really funny.
Because it hadn't been fired.
Exactly.
And
look
yet.
At you
so
making
it really was
making a mistake, a learning lesson.
Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fascinating. And I mean, I guess, I don't know. Jesus had used the potter and like clay is like, that's a common yeah. analogy in scripture. But to hear a, you know, just like an actual professional pottery maker, explain the process of, okay, you do this, and when you get to first you're molded,
yeah,
and then you get to this step and you're and then it's fired,
yeah.
So it kind of like locks it into the shape of the first one, so that's sort of like, yeah, you're fired and then you're kind of like in that shape. But then the next step, which then kind of made me it just made me think of confirmation.
Yeah.
I'm like reviewing the video footage, and I thought of confirmation, which says, and then when you do the glazing and you fire it again, then it seals it
yeah.
in. And so it just made me think of like, I think in confirmation they say like
be sealed
with the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
right? So I was like, oh wow, this is fascinating. It's a great analogy, plus the analogy of the fire as well.
Oh, it's so great. Like cool. It's really good because also the glaze firing, it's finally preparing it for its intended purpose, right? So we're not fully initiated into the Christian life until we experience all of the sacraments of initiation, including confirmation. And confirmation equips us to be sent out for God's purpose, right? To be sent out with the Holy Spirit, not just to use it ourselves. So it's so, so cool. I hope that people can kind of unpack that and even have conversations about it that maybe things we didn't even notice about the pottery. And I think a theme for this episode yeah. today is hopefully, again, you know, you might think you understand what pottery is, but it's not until you actually experience it and have that tactile or just see it that you're like, okay, wait, I think I have a new appreciation and understanding for some of these symbols and signs.
Yeah. And some practical or sort of like real life connections too, for like opening up that conversation with people that you might be talking about it with, whether it's
yeah.
breathing or go, you know, visit a ceramic pottery studio
yeah.
or whatever it is. And I think that this was a really fun unit to work on, to get creative with, you know, how are we going to tie this into then talking about the Holy Spirit, but then being able really easily through these sort of like analogies and stories that we found to make that connection and get to the truth of, you know, really who is the Holy Spirit.
Can I throw in one like bonus analogy? I felt like this would be good for the thought of this might be good for the podcast people, and it kind of adds
brand
yeah,
new
yeah.
never
okay.
planned
hold
before.
On one second. So I heard a preacher kind of talk about this before, and those of you listening at home, I have like a handkerchief, right? And he was giving a talk on the Holy Spirit, and then he put the handkerchief on his shoulder. And he said, you know, if you're walking through the world, just normally walking through the world, you're just going, you're just doing your thing, right? But if you had a bird, you know, he's talking about the Holy Spirit as a bird, and we've talked about the awareness of our breath. He said, if you had a bird on your shoulder, you'd walk through the room a little differently, right? Like maybe you'd walk a little carefully, a little more carefully. I don't know, maybe you're a pirate, I don't know. But for some reason, if you have a bird, there's a little bit of a weight. You could forget the weight, right? You could forget about the bird. But
it's
a small bird. You have an awareness of a bird on your shoulder. Well, the tone of your voice might be different. The places you go might be different. Maybe you don't go to certain places that are loud or certain places that are, you know, quieter, I don't know, indoors versus outdoors, or maybe you're around different people because you're acknowledging that there's a bird on your shoulder, right? And I thought that was a really great, I was trying to work that into one of the scripts because I felt like this awareness of breath is really important, this awareness of the Holy Spirit and how it changes things. And I just wanted, as a little bonus thing for those of you who use these videos, to, it's a cool analogy to think, wow, if there was a dove on my shoulder, how would I act? How would I talk? How would I speak? Where would I go? What would I do to kind of be aware and conscious of this Holy Spirit, to create an environment where the Holy Spirit or this dove can really rest and be with me, right? Because there's things we could do to disturb that peace that we have of welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives and that awareness.
Yeah, dove on your shoulder, tongue of fire over your head. How might people react to you differently? Yeah, yeah. How might you act differently with that outward sign of being sealed with the Spirit, you know? So that's great. Thanks for the bonus content, folks.
This was a great episode. I like this. Do you want to wrap us up, Emily?
Yes, I want to remind everybody that there are discussion guides available for every unit online. We actually got a few requests this week for people saying, you know, hey, I found your videos, I want to use them, but, you know, do you have a suggested structure or how do these piece together? So I've been happy to respond to each of those requests. But if you are listening now and are looking for more resources, then you can find those at realtrue.org/discussion-guides. Or you can also email me and I'll respond quickly. So I want to remind people of that resource. And that's all because of our mission for this project.
The mission, we believe the catechism is a faithful echo of a God who desires to reveal himself to us. And we're just trying to retransform that into a living voice that people can hear. So we're transforming the letter into a living voice for the modern world through videos, stories, animation, podcasts, to unpack and unlock the catechism of the Catholic Church for the modern world.
So thank you for listening to this podcast. You can subscribe to it. You can go subscribe to our videos on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, or sign up for our newsletter at realtrue.org. We are so grateful for you taking the time to listen and chat with us today, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's the official summary written by the Church of everything Catholics believe. So it just sits on the shelf collecting dust. But if the contents of this catechism are unlocked, it can change the world. We believe the catechism isn't a dry, dusty textbook. It's a gift. It's the faithful echo of a God who desires to reveal himself to us. The heart of the catechism is Jesus. And Jesus changes people. We just need to retransform the catechism into a living voice that people can hear. So we're setting out to help unlock the catechism. We're transforming the letter into a living voice for the modern world. We're creating videos, stories, animations, podcasts, social media. We're creating content that's relevant, watchable, the type of content you want to share with your friends. And all of this will be free to the world and translated into multiple languages, English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, to help people fall in love with the catechism, the church, and the heart of the catechism, Jesus. Visit realtrue.org and join the movement. Join us and help unlock the catechism for the world. Join in the project to retransform the letter into a living voice.